If you're someone who's already done the research, maybe tried functional medicine, a bunch of labs, a cleanse, different diets, and you still feel like something deeper is being missed, I'd love for you to take our root cause quiz. It's a short, thoughtful assessment designed to help you see patterns that might not have been detected yet. Things like hidden toxin exposure or nervous system overload or gut disruption or mold exposure, past or present. It's completely free and it takes just a few minutes. You'll find the link in the description below. Take it and see what shows up, and let's start making sense of what your body's been trying to tell you. So many times your body's not making a mistake. It's trying to share with you, hey, I'm doing the best I can under all of these stressors that I've been put under. And it all makes logical sense once you can connect the dots. So we're going to talk today about healing the hidden gut triggers behind psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and this is what you'll learn. How gut dysfunction triggers skin inflammation. This is a really important thing to start unpacking for yourself. Do not wait for your doctor to explain this to you. They are still catching up. And it's not their fault. It's how the system is working right now. So we want to discover the hidden pathways connecting your digestive system to persistent skin issues like psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and acne. We're going to talk about the hidden connection between leaky gut and food sensitivities and histamine reactions and those chronic infections that keep your skin flaring up. And why topical treatments keep failing, how they actually make the underlying gut skin problems worse by masking symptoms without addressing root causes and then creating a bigger problem for your body to deal with down the road. Anybody gone through topical steroid withdrawal? It is very, very difficult, very uncomfortable. And if that's you, don't worry, you're in the right place. You're not alone. And it is solvable. I know this stuff is really frustrating when you're going through it, but the good news is we can talk about hard things and we can face them together as a community because it is solvable. We want to talk about the elements that get overlooked in a protocol and what it takes to actually create an approach that works. So let's start with your histamine symptom tracker. Is this resonating for anybody? Did you already know? This is a really important thing to start assessing for yourself if you have any skin issues at all. Do not wait for a practitioner to spot this in you. So one of the things we want to consider is like, do I have rashes, itching, fatigue, irritated eyes, flushing, anxiety, maybe panic attacks or depression or fatigue or dizziness? If you're new to considering if histamine is an issue for you, I just invite you to take your time with this and start using this histamine tracker for yourself over time. Your job, if you're going to heal yourself, and that's what we all want, is to be the CEO of our own health, right? Is to start noticing the patterns, tracking the patterns for yourself. When I do this, X happens. It puts you back in the driver's seat. So let's unpack why that might be from your skin's perspective. Your skin is like an early warning system, right? And it's going to try to act as a second liver for you if your liver can't keep up or if there's distress in the gut. So you know how there's like, you know, Hippocrates saying like, oh, all disease starts in the gut. It's not untrue. It's actually more true today than ever before. We want to explore why though. Like that's not where we would end the conversation. That's just where we would start it. But we definitely want to start looking at this from the lens of toxin overload because we have all been exposed to toxins against our will. You did not consent to the pollution in the air. You did not consent to the mold in your classroom in high school when you were growing up. The first apartment, you know, you getting a water leak and the landlord turning a blind eye and not wanting to deal with it. You did not consent to that burden of mold that happened over time in your body because of those prior exposures. You did not consent to herbicides and pesticides. You just didn't. If you had known the cost to your body and how it would feel on your skin, there's no way you would have agreed to it. I know that for sure, because everybody wants to feel good and at home in their own body. So I just want to like call your attention to this and start really connecting the dots here, because we can do something about this as soon as we understand the factors. It's a waste of time to just throw one-hit product wonders at this and get sucked into people's marketing of like, this one supplement's going to fix everything. Come on now. Let's be smarter then, right? Let's make really smart, reasoned decisions that's going to support you systematically. So we got to talk about the problem in depth in order to do that. Your skin is not the problem, first of all. We need to unhook from that concept. It's the frustrating part for sure, but it's just the messenger. It's not actually the root cause. I think about this wonderful client. He's a really good illustrative example of this. This poor guy had candidiasis. He had mast cell activation syndrome. He had steroid withdrawal. This is very difficult for him. And it came with a lot of emotional ups and downs as well. He discovered the hard way that when he had this skin condition develop almost overnight, that life stress was a real trigger for him. But what he didn't realize was that this had been building up for years under the surface in his gut, in the terrain of his body. It's almost like the alarm cells went on when he hit a certain big life stress event moment. And he thought, oh, okay, so this is all stress related. Anybody had a skin flare because of stress? It's extremely distracting, isn't it? And it feels so obvious. So he thought, oh, this is stress driven, because that's when it started. It was a big life stressful event. He was scared for his wife's well-being and her health. He thought for sure, okay, so this is just stress driven. But actually, once we unpacked it together, first he tried all the wrong stuff first, right? Steroids to suppress it. Then he had to go through steroid withdrawal, which was very, very difficult on him. He went to functional medicine doctors who were like, oh, well, I have this ozonated sauna. Let's throw you in there and see what happens. Big mistake. Huge flare that took months to calm down before he found us. He tried juicing, right? He was trying the channelers juicing and smoothie recipes and feeling bad about himself that, wow, I'm trying to play such a clean game. Why don't I get better? What's wrong with me? And what we don't realize with so many of those protocols is, even if, for example, it was a good idea, like an ozonated sauna is a very cool piece of equipment, but it's usually the wrong thing too early in the game without enough terrain support. So nice idea, really wrong time, terrible, terrible time for him in his healing journey. So I do not recommend that early on in your healing. Something like juices sound good, but in practice, they're histamine and oxalate bombs. And when you have skin issues, you don't have the resilience to withstand that. So you're actually accelerating the issue without realizing it for so many of you. So we just want to consider that if you've ever tried like a juicing or a smoothie or a cleanse and been frustrated by the results, that's why we want to take a deeper look at food irritants like oxalates and histamines for you. So this poor guy had candidiasis, MCAS, anxiety, depression, histamine intolerance without realizing it, and major gut distress without even realizing it, because what he was focused on was his skin. He's like, no, it's not my gut. I mean, yeah, like I don't feel good after I eat, but whatever. I can tolerate that. My skin is the problem. But his skin was actually just screaming out, hey, there's something deeper going on here. You're listening to the Detox Nation podcast. Firstly, thank you so much for being here. If this conversation speaks to you, tap follow right here on Apple Podcasts. Each episode builds on the last. It's a body of work, not just a one-off conversation. And following means it's there in your feed every week, ready when you are, and it helps us bring even stronger voices to the mic. Every follow helps this show grow. Thank you so much for being an essential part of it. So what I want you to see is the photos at the top was where he started, this unlivable itching. He couldn't sleep at night. He would scratch till he bled. He could not help himself. And then this is what he looked like a few months later. Now, he worked this. He dove in. Man, he committed. This was not a wishy-washy event for him, because he had to get back to being a dad and running his business. Like, he did not have an option. And he really committed. This is what's possible, even if you have serious skin conditions. He also was living in mold, and he didn't realize it at the time. He had prior mold exposure. He had exposure to chemicals from being construction in his early years, and he had amalgam fillings that he wasn't considering as part of the picture. Heavy metals can absolutely drive skin conditions over time. Isn't that interesting? Because heavy metals are really hard for the body to excrete. So they often recirculate and go into storage. And one of the ways that your body will try to stabilize heavy metals is to actually allow things like fungus or candida, in his case, to overgrow in the organs and under his skin to stabilize his heavy metal load. So none of this is an accident. He earned the skin condition over time. And once we start looking at it through that lens, we can actually start to unpack these things over time in a way that is safe. So what we want to consider, first of all, with any skin issue, is what's going on in the gut, right? If your gut is on fire, your skin is actually the smoke signal. So internally, whatever you're seeing externally on the skin is happening internally in the gut, in the microbiome itself, and also in the gut lining. So we want to consider what toxin exposures would be throwing the gut off and irritating it in order to require this kind of distress to display on your skin. Everyday exposures in food, air, and water absolutely impact the gut microbiome and distort immune system responses. So you get these skin flares where you're like, geez, my immune system is setting off over every little thing. I walk into a big box store and my skin starts flaring just from the detergent that's three aisles over. What is wrong with me? Well, your immune system is having a response like that that actually started in the gut itself. That's where the immune system response started, to prior toxin exposures, not even today's. So your skin isn't broken. It's just talking, and it's irritating for sure. But it's actually trying to save your life by showing you what's happening on the inside. So when you heal your gut and calm your inflammation and restore your microbiome, your skin has no choice but to clear. It is inevitable. So this isn't just about like pretty skin or vanity. It's really about reclaiming your health and your resilience in an imperfect world. Because we don't need to be afraid of the world around us. You have enough control over your own life right now in order to resolve your skin conditions for good. Yes, you might get into an Uber with an air freshener that's going to be irritating to your immune system. Yes, you might eat a less than perfect meal out at a restaurant in the future. You should be able to build to resilience to that over time so you don't have to feel it in your symptoms or on your skin later. So we want to unhook from this idea that you're treating a skin condition, first of all. You're healing a whole person. And that person, you, deserves to feel amazing, of course, in your own skin. Let's look at ground zero together right now, okay? We're going to start with foodborne chemicals. Your body's not stupid. It's not possible for your body to make mistakes. Any pathogenic development or pathology is not an accident. It's your body having a logical response to the stresses it's been put under. And when you look at what's in our food today, it makes total sense. You got pesticides and herbicides, like glyphosate, right? Carbamates, organophosphates. Glyphosate will not only destroy your gut lining on contact, so you start getting leaky gut and get these irritants leaking into your bloodstream, which requires an immune response, which is not just going to happen right in the gut. It's going to happen body-wide. So your skin's going to start going off, man. But glyphosate will also hurt and harm the barriers and linings in your veins, your arteries, your other organ linings, and yes, of course, your skin. So you become more reactive and porous just from this herbicide that its tagline is literally safer than water. And they're paying out by losses for this in the billions and billions right now. Like, this is not like controversial. This is known and understood. The data is there. And you didn't agree to that. So when we know that, and we know that that's the world's leading herbicide and that we're using billions of pounds of it a year globally, and that 70% of your water and your air samples are contaminated with it, we are thinking about healing your skin against the backdrop of glyphosate, which actually is not that complicated, okay? Glyphosate sounds really scary, but it's very straightforward to mop up and detox. Your body actually can do this well. It can't do it well by itself. It needs some targeted support in a way that doesn't exhaust you. As long as you account for it, it is solvable. So then we want to consider food additives, right? Emulsifiers, artificial sweeteners, preservatives. Those are very irritating to the gut lining. Plasticizers and packaging chemicals, food processing byproducts, residues and antibiotics and hormones. All of this is adding up to create a lot of harm for the villi. So these villi, see how cute they are down here? I snuck in a little photo for you even on this busy slide. Aren't they adorable? This is actually what your gut lining looks like. These really delicate fingers. So that's actually what most of your gut surface is in the villi itself. These are amazing. They're tiny finger-like projections in the small intestine where the function is to actually increase nutrient absorption. It's like your shag carpet that's pulling nutrients out of the gut and sending them into the rest of the body. So it's a really smart shag carpet. And they're covered in microvilli, this brush border that release enzymes to help you break down and absorb your food and process your food. But damage to them is immediate when you have any of these irritants coming in off of your food. So what does that do? What does that immediate damage add up to? It adds up to malabsorption. So you're not getting the nutrients you need to replenish your gut barrier, to rebuild your tissues, and yes, to heal and create a protective barrier in your skin. What else happens? Food sensitivities happen immediately. This is not an accident because your gut lining is under attack. So these beautiful, delicate microvilli that are on the villi themselves, you know, that are lining the single cell thick gut lining itself, are getting basically beat up. I'm trying to find a way to say this without swearing because it's such a dramatic experience for your gut. Your gut is actually very resilient. It can rebuild itself every 3 days. So this should be If it was an isolated event, super fixable. But if nothing changes about the ongoing conditions, if you don't clean up the exposures you've already had, those toxins will actually keep recirculating. This is really important to know because if you ever tried a detox and been frustrated by the results, what were your symptoms? Did you get a skin flare? Did you get tired? Did you have a gut reaction? It's scary, right? And it's frustrating. So was it a poorly designed detox? Which maybe it was, right? Because let's be real, most of the detoxes out there, pretty questionable. Or was it not accounting for the toxins actually recirculating? Because that's what will happen. Your body is trying to get these out the door, but how is it going to do that? Toxins will actually get circulated through the bloodstream into the liver itself, your beautiful liver that breaks them down, knows how to do that, and then sends them out through the bile or through the kidneys. But wait a minute, if they come out through the bile, where are they going? They're going back into the gut where that original exposure was. And your gut lining is designed to reabsorb them. It's called enterohepatic recirculation. It's a retoxification event unless you account for it in your protocol. So that's why it feels like we're living in Groundhog Day. Remember that old movie? Just like wake up, it's the same shit over and over again. You know, new protocols, same old story, irritation. That's the frustrating part of not understanding how to account for these things. Once you know that they're there, these foodborne toxins, that they're coming in to some extent on the daily in your new food, and that they're by default recirculating accidentally, then we can start to interrupt the process so you don't keep recreating the damage on the skin lining, which is or the gut lining, which is reflected on your skin itself. We also want to account for how this has a neurotoxic impact. You know, it's very like trendy to talk about the nervous system right now. That's not an accident. It's because everybody's nervous systems are under attack. So these foodborne toxins, they also have a direct harm effect on your nerves themselves, on the enteric brain, which is your first brain that's in your gut. All those beautiful vagus nerve endings that are sourcing and sensing into your gut. How's the gut doing? I'm going to tell the rest of the body how you're doing so that we're really accounting for that because it's so important to know how you're doing. These guys are really irritated. Your nerves are directly impacted by these herbicides and pesticides, by those artificial sweeteners, by the microplastics, by the food preservatives, by the food packaging. It's a big bummer. Because not only are they eroding the villi and it's destabilizing the lining and collapsing your microbiome balance, so you're absolutely seeing all of that on your skin, but it's also creating this direct neurotoxic effect. Just these foodborne chemicals that we're all used to, that we can't get away from right now. It creates mood issues, brain fog, and poor stress resilience. What does that do for your mast cells? Your mast cells are now getting it from two directions. The gut microbiome and the gut lining saying, hey, we don't like what's going on here. We have concerns. Please send out the alarm. Please release inflammatory cytokines. And your mast cells are also getting it from the nervous system. And hey, I'm getting attacked by these neurotoxic particles, whether I'm breathing them in through my sinuses or they're coming in through the gut or they're coming in through the skin. So we're going to sound the alarm. Please sound the alarm, mast cells, because me, the nervous system, I am overwhelmed. I'm irritated. I'm going into overreactive mode, and we need to deal with this insult, this injury, this threat. But the threat is on the inside of the body, not just the outside. So you could see how exhausting that is for your beautiful, sweet, intelligent body that is so brilliant at compensating for these things. Like really, under assault 24/7, look how well you're doing. Really, like you're pretty amazing. So your body has lots of reasons for these alarms to get set off. And because it's a cyclical event, the alarm system keeps going. And that's just the food. We also have water contaminants, right? We got to acknowledge that. You're getting little micro amounts of heavy metals, PFAS, that scary word, forever chemicals. I hate that they call them that because I just do not like the fear mongering that happens in the media. How about we just take them out of pans? How about we just make them illegal? How about that? But in the meantime, you do need to know that just because they're called forever chemical doesn't mean they stay in your body forever with the right support. So it's okay to assess for them and to tackle this because it actually is solvable. We do want to acknowledge too that like in your water, we have totally normalized chlorine, fluoride, all of these like antimicrobial things that just additives that your municipal water facility is adding in just to like make sure that you don't get poisoned from this recycled, you know, septic water. That's not great, though, long-term for you.
These actually create a long-term body burden on your microbiome. It creates an unhealthy environment for your microbiome.
It creates things like low stomach acid, reflux, GERD. It's not fun. But it's often there to stabilize chemicals that you have been exposed to in your water. And if you try to kill it off too fast, what happens? You actually get an increase in gut symptoms and in skin symptoms. How interesting is that? That's what the latest study showed. I think that's really important for us to understand because it means that we don't just want to vilify the bug that's taking advantage of the situation. We want to look all the way back to the root causes. Just like we're not going to yell at the skin, we're not going to yell at the bug. We want to flush the bugs out, sure, right? We don't want an overgrowth of those guys because they drive symptoms themselves, and that's not fair. But let's make sure that we're placing blame where it belongs and going far enough upstream to realize what the root causes were, like these water contaminants. So having a water filtration strategy in this day and age is critical, but then also knowing how to come into your body and clean up the terrain so it's not overloaded anymore and your gut doesn't have to let parasites go crazy just to stabilize the toxins, that's a really big deal. That's where we'll actually see the needle move for you. I also cannot talk about skin issues and histamine overload with the skin without talking about mold. This is not a mistake. It's showing up on your skin. That's where it really has your attention. Like, oh, these flares. Oh, this poor guy right here. I mean, literally his mold issues followed the map of his lymphatic system under the skin, flaring at the termini, at the neck, under the armpits. See that? Around the galls, like around in the groin where you could see a lot of lymph nodes were backed up. It was not an accident, this poor guy, but it really was the mold and the heavy metals. It's a big deal for us to start realizing that and placing blame where it actually belongs. Mold can absolutely drive histamine overload, which shows up on the skin. Mold can shut down the liver immediately. Mold is really good at inflaming your bile ducts on contact so that your liver is slowed down in detoxification. Mold is not stupid. It's a colonizer. It's alive and it has a consciousness. It wants to thrive in your body, wants to snack on your cells, so break down your body over time. And it's excreting mycotoxins, those poisons, to decrease your bile flow, to elbow beneficial organisms out of the way so that mold can win, and to suppress and distort immune system responses. So you get sick easier, flus and colds. Who feels like, oh God, cold season is coming, man. I know it's going to turn into a thing for me. Yeah, well, it's a lot easier for that to happen if mold is in the picture. And then, of course, mold loves to create this stagnation under the skin, shut down mitochondria efficiency so that you create these skin flares of your various skin condition, rosacea, eczema, psoriasis, just these itchy flares, rashes, acne. It's really frustrating, but it's absolutely happening body-wide. It's just your skin is where it's possible to point at it. Mold and mycotoxins are a big part of that, right? VOCs, particulate matter from diesel, air pollution, wildfires, indoor air pollutants, and yes, pesticide drift. All of those are harming the gut barrier itself and giving your body reasons to be overloaded in your detox pathways, your liver, your kidneys, your lymphatics. What does that do to the skin? It means that your interstitium, so the organ, you know, right underneath the skin barrier, is draining slower than it should, which makes it the perfect environment for these microscopic parasites and infections to set up shop. So that's why, if you actually start tackling parasites and healing the gut itself, you can experience major reduction and even long-term resolution of your skin issues. And that's across a broad range of skin conditions. My very first thing I would want to get you on if you had a serious skin condition is a gut protocol that is root cause oriented. So tackling and assessing for those industrial chemicals, the mold, yes, plastics, yes, food problems like herbicides and pesticides, but also checking for heavy metals and radioactive elements because those can create those skin blooms of pathogens. They're very hard to kick. Pretty cool when you actually start realizing none of this is an accident. It's all interconnected. So, oh, okay, I don't just have a skin issue and a gut issue. They're actually the same problem expressed across different symptom systems. Even joint pain and fatigue like I had, it was all parasite, mold, and heavy metal driven for me. So I thought my acne and my joint pain were two totally different things. I thought my SIBO was completely unrelated. I thought my body was just broken. I just had the short end of the DNA stick that I was down to three foods.
was all the same issue, though. Total body burden overload.
We also want to acknowledge that mold is not just harming your gut microbiome and slowing down your liver and slowing down your skin's natural drainage and excretion strategies, right? By harming your mitochondria and creating a stagnant environment. But actually, mold has a direct neurotoxic effect. There we go again with these toxins overloading the nervous system, harming it directly, attacking your myelin sheath on your nerves, and actually changing the way that your nervous system expresses itself and has the ability to self-regulate. So yeah, what often comes with these skin issues is things like brain fog, anxiety, insomnia, migraines. Anybody here have migraines? It's so frustrating, isn't it? When you learn to tackle these head on, you actually see a reduction in symptoms from both of those directions at once, because the stress is coming from inside. The poison is coming from inside, and it's harming your nervous system. And of course, your brain drains last. So if your skin isn't excreting and draining efficiently enough, you got to look to your liver, got to look to your lymph, got to look to your bowels. Like, we need to think about this in terms of total body system wide, which is why if we want to solve skin problems, we look to the gut. And we look to which of these exposures and irritants have overloaded the gut in the first place. Because we know if we start there, we will actually see this beautiful downstream effect of more and more relief in the skin, and then finally resolution. Is it going to take longer than you want? Yeah, 100%. We all want this to be over yesterday, right? For sure. But this is a project. It's not a lifelong sentence, you know? That's a really important thing to remember. I also want to point out, I have to, if I'm going to be responsible, most of your practitioners, even the really seasoned ones, are overlooking your sinuses as a part of your skin issues. And I know this sounds weird, but if you're breathing in irritants like air pollution, whether you're a country mouse or a city mouse, you're getting air pollution these days, whether it's from crop dusting and what they're spraying on the fields, or mold in the hay, you know, or whatever it is out in the country, or whether you're in the city getting air pollution and mold from indoor exposures, then you got to consider that your sinuses have been under attack for maybe quite some time. What does that mean for you? Well, sinuses don't drain well. What is your body supposed to do with air pollution? Really, what is it supposed to do? Because your sinuses are there to filter out things like dust, you know, and pollens. It's not there to react to these toxins long term that can get embedded in these tissues and actually go direct from the sinuses themselves into the brain. It's very delicate tissue in between the two. It's a direct neurotoxic effect. So you're setting off alarm bells in the sinuses for the immune system and the nervous system. How well do you think your skin is going to regulate against that backdrop? Not so hot. If we know that air pollution has been an issue for you currently or in the past, whether it's wildfire smoke you lived through a couple summers in a row like I did, or mold in your childhood bedroom or childhood basement where you went and played video games in the summers, you know, it smelled musty, you know, and it would flood in the winters, like that kind of thing. It can be prior exposure. It doesn't have to be now. Then, of course, we want to account for that and flush these delicate tissues out as a part of your gut strategy to relieve pressure on your skin long term. So now you're starting to realize why other protocols may not have worked in the past, because actually you might have way more signs that sinuses are an issue for you than you even realized. Symptoms might worsen for you during season changes. And you're like, oh, fall allergies, or oh, spring allergies. Do you think we evolved with fall and spring allergies? I don't think we did. So we want to consider that mold might be part of the picture for you, or chronic coughing or throat clearing or loss of smell or feeling worse after showers or in certain buildings. Or maybe you've had sinus infections in the past and those antibiotics that used to work don't work as well anymore or don't work at all. Or maybe just persistent congestion. You have to blow your nose in the morning when you get moving. You have a post-nasal drip in the morning and you don't even think about it afterwards. It's just part of getting going in the morning. Why? That's not normal. It's common, but it's not normal. So that's why we want to think through this toxin cascade inflammatory effect. So if you inhaled spores of mold and they colonized and settled in your sinus cavities, think about where mold likes to be, someplace dark and wet. Does that sound like your sinuses? Yeah, it does. They love it in there. And it's warm, yummy. Mold shields itself from your immune system using biofilms. So it can hide behind biofilms.
And then those toxins that mold releases, those mycotoxins, disrupt and distort immune function. So now you're reacting to stuff on your skin. You put a lotion on your skin that your body doesn't like because it's got plastics in it, boom, big flare, right? And those flares get bigger and bigger over time, not smaller and smaller. That is the frustrating thing about this kind of cumulative body burden. The symptoms get bigger over time unless you know how to tackle them and relieve this body burden for good,
which is just a project. That's all it is. Then we start seeing this chronic inflammatory response. Sometimes it's localized in the sinuses. It never was for me. Never noticed it in my nose. Yes, I had the postnasal drip, but I didn't get it. I didn't realize, oh my God, I have stuff colonizing in my nose until I tackled it directly because Michael convinced me to finally. I saw him with local sinus issues. I was like, yeah, it sucks for you, dude. So you have that sinus problem. But I also whipped through mold. So yeah, of course my skin was going to get better and my gut issues were going to get better. And I was going to get my brain back online, my energy back once I finally tackled this head on. So we want to make sure, and then of course there's the heavy metal issues, what we're really accounting for, like why this is happening. Yeah. And seeing, yeah, your gut, your skin might be screaming, but it's saying the same thing that your gut is whispering underneath, and just remembering that this is fixable, right? And it does start in your gut. And I have a lot of compassion for these practitioners because I used to be angry at them and see them as charlatans or taking advantage of you. But the more practitioners I train over time in root cause resolution approach, the more convinced I am that there's nobody out there wants to harm you. They just don't have the whole picture. That's the frustrating part, I know, and it does not feel good. Our sweet client, I care that couldn't even pick up his own kids because his skin was in so much pain. You know, his sweet little girl toddlers. You know, they don't mean to hurt you. We have to get smarter. We cannot wait for the medical system to catch up. Practitioners are waking up to this one by one, but let's take our health into our own hands here. We can keep trying to silence symptoms, but I hope that what we've covered today, even so far, you're seeing that if we account for the root causes themselves, then we can actually finally start to design a protocol that works, where we're healing from within, restoring gut health, and we're not trying to just tell the skin, hey, shut up, skin, you're annoying me. We're going to resolve it from a root cause resolution perspective. The data is absolutely there. 42 protective gut bacteria were identified for skin health. That's amazing. So of course, we want to support the gut microbiome and assess the gut microbiome and make sure that we're dealing with the gut health before we try to actually tackle anything directly on the skin. We don't even need a skin resolution protocol that is separate from gut resolution. That's the amazing thing. And we see like 97% improvement when gut infections are treated. That's amazing. That's what our meta-analysis shows us in 2025. And 81% achieve lasting results with gut protocols. That's pretty cool. So we want to get away from this skin management paradigm and into the deeper healing, right? Because your skin's not broken. It's just trying to save your life by showing you what's happening on the inside of the body. Thanks for spending this time with us today. I know these conversations can bring up a lot, and I want you to have room to sit with what you learned and let it land in your own body. If you want more support or you're curious about the next step on your healing path, you can always connect with me. Find me on Instagram at TheDetoxNation and explore resources mentioned in this episode at detoxnation.com. This conversation is shared for education and personal reflection and isn't medical advice. Please always work with your trusted healthcare providers for your care. I'm really glad you're here, and I'll see you in the next episode.